You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence. God, deal with us according to your mercy and grace. God, for your glory and honor. And our God, as you deal with us, we thank you for having the oversight, managing the whole universe in the outworking of your good will. God, thank you very much. So looking to you, Spirit of God, honor your word, honor the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Hebrews chapter 2, you remember we're presented a wonderful Savior, a perfect God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save us to the uttermost. And in chapter 2, speaking of our Lord, sliding down to verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned, that means he became like us, humans, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, in our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, he's the perfect man. He's perfect humanity and perfect deity. He's a wonderful, awesome person. And in the process, in his humanity, he represents God's intended humanity. And in his perfect humanity, he is what? Noted to be full, crowned with glory and honor. On his way to the cross, he is crowned with glory and honor. The word honor has to do with value, price, worth, prized, very highly valued, highly precious. In other words, to be a human as God intended it was something glorious and something precious. Our Lord, in his perfect humanity, represented that. Now, over, if you would please, to 1 Peter again.
I'm just trying to get where we need to go. Glory and honor, prized, precious, highly valued. We shared together that our Lord Jesus Christ, it cost God his Son. And in chapter 1 Peter 1:19, we read together, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, our Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. He who is crowned with glory, he who is precious, shed his precious, highly valued blood. And thus, in the process, he highly valued all humans that he created. That's all humans, not evolution, creation. They have a soul and spirit. God made and created them. When you lose God in the process, you're left to be dust with no destiny. Now, of any value, not a good one. Now, in the light of that, so he shed his highly valued person, he shed his highly valued precious blood, and in order to recover, in order to restore, every human being from Adam on down that sinned, so that they could have a recovery, a savior, a saving solution to their earthly lot. As sinners, they need to be saved by grace. Now, having said that, then we share together God, and so it's no question, chapter 2 and in verse 4, God, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And we share together in all of that, that he is precious. God considers the Lord Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. Hear ye him, he sent him to the cross to die for all of us. Therefore, humans are very, very much in demand. They have a high, God has placed a high value upon them by dying for them and making it possible for them to know his preciousness, to making humans know what God intended. They are crowned with glory and honor to get back into that position. Now, and we shared together that he is elect and precious, and in as the human heart sees him as precious, understands the cost that it cost him to value us, created in his image and likeness. To be able to have that value, that human, wonderful, wonderful value of being human, to be able to know and honor him, and thus, as we honor him as precious, we become precious. And as we shared, as we did in 1 Peter 17 and all of that, chapter 1, as we're our sojourning here, our pilgrim journey, as we're left on planet Earth, our pilgrim journey is to be in fear. Recognizing, as we shared, verse 16, 15, 16, that he is holy and we are holy. We are motivated by God's holiness. And thus we participate in his holiness. We are motivated by his preciousness, and we participate in share his preciousness in a most wonderful way. Now, in the process of that, motivated, over in Philippians and in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. And we shared together, tying that together, that then, as we did in Sunday school just a few minutes ago, to remind ourselves that there's nothing of value in anything on earth. Our flesh, our blood, our coming and going, birds, bugs, bees, beasts, pyramids, Empire State Buildings, all of it. All of it is condemned and is nothing. It is chasing the wind. And we need to see the reality of that. We bring nothing into the world and we take nothing out. And we need to understand that. Awesome soberness. It's sobering, wonderfully, wonderfully real, true. And we need to face the realities of life. And thus we'll be able to enjoy the benefits. God understands them. Angels understand them. Humans need to understand them, these values. Now, we did that together, Philippians 3, sliding down quickly to where we had done. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, said Paul, I count all things, that's right, all the wonderful credentials you had as we shared, but loss for the excellency, for the above, the word above and beyond, having to hold above and beyond everything and anything, having to hold above and beyond everything, of the knowledge, to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord is above all everything. It's all about you, God, and about us made in your image and likeness, designed to enjoy and exercise your glory and honor and preciousness. Now, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win, gain Christ. It's all about you, God. We discover it's about your wonderful plan and purpose. And God, we need to understand that and exercise and go for it. Paul, do you understand it? I do. How much? I count everything. Everything is dung, waste, absolute waste, garbage. Goes in the wastebasket, goes down everywhere. Wow. Waste. My quest, I discovered what it's all about. It's all about you, God. All about our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, making it possible for us to enjoy you, to fulfill your wonderful plan and desire for our life by way of your precious blood, by way of the precious person of Christ, who is so precious. He makes diamonds and gold and silver. He makes work and home and school and play and achievement and all kinds of earthly excellingness in everything that we could ever have as nothing compared to you, God. Wow. So that's your quest, Paul. And you have a request in order to go on your quest. And that is, you want to grow and know, you want to put aside anything and everything that would stand in the way of a person, of Paul in particular, of enjoying the wonderful person that you are, God. To enjoy the wonderful person that you are. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, to above and beyond all knowledge. Therefore, Paul, what do you want? Paul, you want, what do you want most of all? What do you want most of all? God. I want to know him. Hang on. More than anything? Mm-hmm. More than anyone? Uh-huh. Any possession, prize, privilege, power, more than anything, anywhere, anyhow, in my whole life? Uh-huh. That's what I want. Now, over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John in chapter 10. And picking up where we left off a bit ago, we had to fill it in with those things we just did in the last couple of weeks or so. Now, John chapter 10, picking up, if I may, remember now that the Jews are there. They're hostile. They are not his sheep. He said so. And in chapter 10, verse 31, in that, it's going to give us a clue again. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So they're trying to stone him again. Stone. They're trying to kill him. They keep trying to kill him. Now, what was he saying this time that so got them riled up again? In I'll read a little context. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. You're not my sheep. As I said unto you, I told you you were not my sheep. You're not my sheep. Well then, who are your sheep? What are they? Identify them, okay? Verse 27. My sheep hear, present tense, my sheep are hearing, my sheep are hearing with their ear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. My sheep are hearing my voice they are, and they are knowing them. And I am knowing them, I should say. You are knowing your sheep. Your sheep are knowing you. chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, you remember, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. The sheep know me, and I know them. Here's the same word, know, verse 27. Remember now, there's different words for know. This is the word know. You look out, and you know something. I'll use persons, it's easy. Your person is knowing another person, and another person that you're looking at is knowing you. I know my sheep. My sheep are knowing me. Goes both directions. The object is knowing the source. The source is knowing the object. Important. It's a mutual knowing, back and forth, understanding. My sheep are hearing. My sheep are knowing. Knowing. And thus, and neither shall any, for, and they are following me. They are following me. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so Paul, what are you looking for? What do you want us to understand? What, God, what do you want us to understand? So therefore, we need to be wanting so as not to want. We need to be rightly wanting so as not to want, and not to want. Knowing results, want to have knowing in such a way that it results, the benefit is not wanting. Knowing so we're not wanting. That's what you want. That's what I want. Paul, you want that. And you'll notice in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. You can keep going with the my, but just there. My sheep hear my voice, and I am knowing them. I know them, and they are knowing me. Now, having said that, we're ready. Over, if you would please, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And in the process, Psalm 23, picking up, please. David, along in his life, older, has been through all kinds of things. And now, David, help us. How did you ever make it from a little shepherd boy with a handful of sheep, killing a lion and a bear, and then Goliath? How did you ever... You went off Saul, King Saul, trying to kill you, and all kinds of stuff. Wow. What'd you tell me about yourself, David? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. And the verb, shepherd is a verb, participle. There's no limitation. There's no beginning. You are a shepherd with no beginning and no ending. You are always a shepherd. You exist as a shepherd. You are always being who you are, no matter what. So what's a shepherd? The verb. What is it, a shepherd? To tend the flock, the cattle, to shepherd, to care for, to feed, to guide, to protect. That's what you are. That's what the word is, to feed, to guide, to protect, to lead. You're the one who brings us to pasture, and you make the pasture possible. You make it all come out just like it's supposed to. You take care of sheep, and sheep need to be taken care of. Absolutely, they need to be taken care of. No question about it. So now, God, here we are looking, and you take care. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. If I just said shepherd, the Lord is a shepherd. He is. I could say that on the news media. I could yell that from the state house. I could say it on the television. The Lord is the shepherd. But what good is that without my? If he isn't your shepherd, what good is that? What good's of him? He's God, but he's not my God. My God. Wow. David, that's the key. Let's see how it works. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And thus, David, you're looking out there and you know the marvelous reality of God's saving grace. I do. And you have a unique relationship to God who has done so much for you, and you've learned so much from him. He'd be one of the guys, if you could ever say it that way, that you would like to sit down with, I would think, in the millennium. I'll pick that. That's safe. In the millennium. Moses. Moses you might like to sit down with. But David certainly would be one of them. David would be one of them. Wow. In fact, David would be a prince in the millennium. Wow. So now, in the light of that, David, you have a unique personal relationship. You have found God to be making you very victorious. He humbled you and has taught you, no question. And you understand that you are, how did you approach David? How did you come to God? As a king? No. As a great person? No. Having great IQ and intellect? No. No. I came to him as a sheep. I took care of sheep, and I know sheep are awful stupid. When they get lost, when they go astray, unless you bring them back, they don't have enough sense to come home. They just wander. And you remember, go with me there over for a sec, Isaiah 53, you know it, I'm just going to read it so that we know it again. God, you're speaking of Calvary's cross, and what are you going to tell us? In Isaiah 53, verse 6, directly in context, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God, you died, and you're precious. You shed your precious blood to save such as us. Uh-huh, I did. Because I understood, I made you in my image and likeness. I made you to have some special, high, holy, happy privilege. To be crowned with glory and honor. That's what I made you for. Wow. So God, and we lost it. We don't have that. God, not without you, without your saving grace. So God, David, what are you going to say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I do not want. I do not want at all. Well, you're here going over, if you would, Psalm 97. Oh, 95 will do. Psalm 95. And picking up, if I can, I'm just showing you the thing. People understood that we're with it. They weren't high and mighty big shots. They understood God. When you get a handle with G-O-D rightly, you're going to shrink down to being human. And you're going to think human and understand it. And humans are just humans. And all of the world around us demonstrates all we are humans, wonderfully humans. Chapter 90, Psalm 95, picking up please in verse 7. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, wow, I got it. We're the his pasture, his sheep. God, you want us to understand that. How are you going to enjoy me as shepherd if you don't understand sheep? I'm not the shepherd of a king. I'm a shepherd of sheep. Sheep are very dependent. Sheep are very needy. Hang on. Over if you would, going back, Psalm 74. Psalm 74. And picking up, please, in verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against us, the sheep of thy pasture? God, we're coming to you not as big hotshots. We're coming to you as sinners needing your saving grace. We are sheep needing a shepherd. We're coming. Over at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And picking up, please, in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. He is good and good God. The good fits, so I'm going to leave it, even though it isn't there. God is good because he's God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Unique, wonderful relationship. David knew himself as a sheep, not as a Superman, not as the greatest and bestest. He didn't do that. He didn't know himself as the Lion King. He knew himself as the sheep that needed a shepherd. And he knew sheep are helpless. They wander. They go wayward. Sheep are wanting. They are deficient. They are humans. Humans are wanting. They're deficient. They're destitute. And they're defective. So God, you've got to be able to do something to help us, or else we're in trouble. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember now, over if you would, why not? We're already out of place. Over to Numbers and chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. And in Numbers 27, verse 17 directly, I'll read verse 16. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Sheep have to have a shepherd. God said, I am the shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. It's a wonderful, unique, personal relationship. Over, if you would, please, to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. David, you're going to see earlier in his life. So when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, he understood it all over the place as he grew, because he had a personal God who gave him great personal benefits. Now, here's Psalm 18, if I may. And picking up, please, in 18, verse 1, David. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. What happens if he isn't your strength? Just strength. No, he's my strength. And the Lord, by the way, is my rock. Where do you have a place solid, safe, to stand on, secure? My rock, to protect, to defend, my fortress, my deliverer. Is there anyone, where do you call, 911? No, he's my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler or shield. The horn of my horn is the offensive, defensive weapon of an animal. And the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'm going to look to God in a unique way. God, and all of it is mine. Mine. And you want to be able to say that. My. If you can't add my, it won't make any difference. We sing a hymn on patriotic days, called My Country Tis, It Is of Thee. My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. My country My people, my shepherd, my pasture, my. You can't use it if it isn't yours. How do you use something that's not yours? That's my watch. I don't have your watch, but this is my watch. So I can use my watch, and it says it's just after 11. Now, God, here we are looking, and while we're in Psalm 18, why not do it again? Psalm 18, verse 32. Psalm 18, verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places, God's wonderful will for your life. He teaches my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holdeth me up. Thy gentleness has made me great. Gentleness, the answering, gentleness. God's willing to hear and answer, to reply. You look to God, and he's going to be God. I know my sheep know me. No, they know me. They know my voice. Ah. Now, so, thy gentleness has made me great. God, what do you mean? You appropriated personally your relationship to God. He was your God, your Savior, your Shepherd. That's right. That's what I did. And when I did that, God, be to me all that you are. Is God going to do that? Sure. Sure he is. Be to me, my shepherd, my Lord, my Savior, Thomas, my Lord and my God. Ah, you're right. Changed, didn't it, Thomas? I won't believe so I can stick my fingers and hands, my hands in his nail print in his hands, in his side. And then God said, go ahead. Go ahead. And of course he didn't. I know he didn't. I wouldn't have either. None of us would have either. None of us would have. My Lord and my God. Ah, what a difference. What a difference it makes. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so therefore, when something is yours, you use it. True? You have cars, automobiles, some of you. Aren't you free? Unless you're a hijacker. Aren't you out there? Don't you have, here's all the cars in the parking lot. And you go to your car and you have your key. And you feel very free in sticking the key and turning the motor on. And you don't feel you're going to be arrested or whatever. Because it's your car. You can use it. Ah, that's true. That's true. Wow. Do you know I have a dentist? Probably you do. Maybe. I have a dentist, and I have a dentist, and I like my dentist, and I like all my providers. I owe them for doing. And in the process, I have a dentist, and if I have a dental problem or a need, then I call. Do you know I just pick up the phone? There's all kinds of dentists and all kinds of people around. But I'm able to dial his phone number, and I can confidently give my name and tell him whatever, and there he is to do whatever. He's my dentist. It's my doctor. Now, I don't know about the others, but they're mine. They're mine. They belong to me. I belong to them. We have a unique relationship. It's personal. Their care in a most wonderful way. So God, I need to exercise. I make use. I have a right to exercise. When I had a mother and father, I exercised my mother and my father, good or bad, much or little, but I did it because they were my mother and father. I didn't go down the street and talk to somebody. My father. I have raised my father. My father. My father. God, you're my father. That's right. I'm your father. My father. Like my earthly father, oh, you're my father of all fathers. My, I can take advantage of being a son. You bet your boots. You bet your boots. You're mine. God, I have no problem looking to you. Neither do you guys. He's mine. Mine. My God. My Savior. Like yours. Wow. Wow. Not religious. No, I don't want to get religious. Stay away from religion. Thus God, in the light of the care... You care, you're a shepherd, and you are responsible to practice your relationship, and you do. Now, in the light of that, you're caring, over, if you would, 1 Peter 5:7. God, the shepherd cares. My, it's a very personal thing. My. And in the process... I'm just going to read it because it deals with what we're talking about. He's my shepherd. And my sheep know my voice. They know me. And they trust me. Chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And you want to, under the mighty hand of God. Now, you know, as we shared that and the rest of it about, the people, God's hand tries to go down on, let me see, God's hand goes down on top, like that. So humble yourselves, let my hand sit on top of you, and people's, they sneak out. When they see God's going to deal with them, boom, they get out of the way. Ah, they should have stayed there. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Wow. Now, verse 7. Casting all your care, all that distracts your mind, all that gives you anxiety, all that divides your mind up in too many directions. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth, care. He is caring. He is caring for you. He is caring for you. God, so sheep, what are you going to do? My sheep, my Lord, my Savior, my everything. Mine. Ah. My sheep hear my voice and know me. You are not my sheep. You don't hear me. You don't listen. You don't even know me. The Lord will say it, you know, ultimately in that sobering Matthew chapter 7. And you will say to me, and you will tell me all the things you did for me, and I'm going to say to you, I never knew you. Isn't that sobering? I never knew you. It's what we do know. It's who we know. Who we know. Now, in the light of that, over quickly, if you would. Over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in verse 19, 20, 21, we have the parable of the sower and the seed that is sown. And when you come to chapter 13, and picking up, if I can, a little bit of the context, verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation, trouble, persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. In other words, he isn't going to hang around. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed, God's word, among the thorns, is he that heareth, a hearing, ear to hear, my sheep hear my voice. He that is hearing the word and the care, there's your little word, of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So God, here we are, the care of the world chokes the word, so that God, we can't enjoy. We can't enjoy being you're the shepherd. And the sheep are trying to be something they aren't. They aren't that. Well, the difference is the Pharisees and Sadducees that were unsaved, now they didn't believe they were sheep. They just believed they wanted to be like everybody else. They didn't want to understand that God made them and created them for his honor and glory. They didn't want to get into that. They wanted to get into their world as they knew it, as they felt it, as they see it, which is an awesome, troublesome thing these days, to say the least. And the cares of this world, the pleasures, the pain, the heartache, trying to find, like we did, security, trying to find surety, trying to get there. Oh, boy, you have no idea, do you, that you were made to be wonderfully, wonderfully saved, to understand you were highly valued, precious. And you found your preciousness in the lovely person of God's saving grace. And you found the preciousness, the value of God's grace. And you understood that, and you weren't offended when God told you that your flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You weren't offended. In me dwelleth no good thing. No. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? You weren't offended. All those things were true. They were. Over to Mark chapter 4. Mark and chapter 4. May I pick up, please? Our Lord, in all his exercise to train, to disciple his apostles, to train them, he gave them all kinds of situations. Here's one of them. Mark chapter 4, picking up, if I can, verse 37. And there arose, I'll read verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. No, they're all going to disappear now in the process. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. These are professional Galilean fishermen. They all know all about storms and ships and sinking and all of that. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest, there's your little word, don't you care that we're going to perish, that we're going to perish, God? Carest thou not that we perish? We're perishing, we're sinking. And as far as our evaluation goes, boy, are we in trouble. That's right, you are in trouble. But I'm there, it looks like I'm sleeping. And you already know from Psalm 121 and that, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never takes a nap. He never goes on vacation. God, you're always God. That's right. Wow. And so, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Boom, it all stopped. All stopped. Why? Because you didn't realize in whose presence you are. You are in the presence of the shepherd. You are sheep being cared for. You are personal. You know my voice, and I know you. You hear me. You need to learn to fear me. You hear me, you need to fear me. So when I speak, you respond with your heart. Wow. Verse 40. He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why is it that you have no faith? Shouldn't you have faith?
Shouldn't you believe? Well, God, yes, he should. And you taught them. So when we come to John chapter 10, on the last months, handful, not even 6 months left, you're going to go and you're going to die on the cross. You're going to die and leave us all alone. No, not at all. Not at all. You need to understand the personal little pronoun, my. Am I your Lord and Savior? Am I whatever you need? I will be to you all that I am. And you're going to be able to say, my health, my wealth, my pleasure, my pain. God, you're everything. That's right. Let me be everything to you. Do you know there was a collector of glass in China, and he went into a glass in China shop, and in the process of going in, he was looking for some special goblets to add to his collection. And in the process, he asked this store owner that he would like to purchase all the goblets that were tuned to pitch A, pitch A. And the shop owner said, I have no idea. I don't go by that. I just put them out for sale. And the man then quietly reached in his pocket and pulled out an old-fashioned tuning fork tuning to pitch A. Pitch A, key, the key of A. He pulled it out, and he hit the counter. He hit the counter with a tuning fork. Boom! And all the goblets that were A resounded. And he knew all the goblets that were pitched to key A by the tuning fork. They heard the pitch A on the tuning fork, and they all responded. My sheep hear my voice and they know me. Again, Thessalonians. I'm going to step out of heaven with a shout and the trumpet and a shout of the archangel, shout and the trumpet of the sound of the archangel. You're going to hear it. Will you? And caught up to be with him forever. Those that hear him, those that have an ear to hear him, my sheep know my voice. And they will not follow anyone else. They will not go anywhere else except to me. Isn't that wonderful? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. My Lord and my Savior, my God, what can I say? Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very much for being who you are and what you do. God, we get all caught up with work and home and school and marriage and children and everything else in life. God, pleasure, pain, headache, heartache, loneliness, and a dozens of things. And God, we get all caught up in the cares. We get all caught up trying to solve, resolve, and override and outrank everything so that we can have some measure of comfort and success. God, but there's no replacing you. And God, you want us to have such a personal, precious relationship to you that we are the immediate beneficiaries and we're able to say, my Lord and my God, my Lord and Savior, mine, mine, mine. You have us, and we have you. Wow. Thank you very much. And those who know you not, God, convict them, bother them, that they might truly
understand and be saved. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.